And here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And you are listening to Jet Nation Radio. I am your host, Brandon Dowling, alongside with Joe Blewett, and we have a great show for you tonight, as it's finally here. We're done talking about the draft. We're done talking about mini camps. We're done talking about training camps. We're done talking about mock drafts. We're done talking about preseason football. We're done talking about Dmitri Patterson. It is time to talk New York Jets football for real. And I mean for real. Tonight we are going to break down the Jets-Raiders matchup. We will break it down from the offense, defense, special team, who has the edge and why, and of course we will pick the games. We're also going to talk roster cuts to start the show and then move on, of course, to the week one matchup. But before we get going, before we dive into some New York Jets football talk, again, for real, tonight's theme is for real because it's back. Joe, my man, how are you?
I'm good, Brandon. Five more days. I've been waiting months and months and months, and I'm ready to get it going. I'm excited for the Packers and Seahawks game on Thursday. I'm ready to get it going.
You know, it's such a great time of the year where you're finally the jitters are off. Everybody's ready to go. The Jets made some moves at cornerback, regardless whether if they're the right moves or not. They finally added some guys in there that potentially could step in and make an impact. They finally added some depth there. I mean, who knows what those, you know, the two guys that they brought in are going to do. Again, these aren't big-time premier cornerbacks. They might not even be backup cornerbacks, but we'll see what they can do. But before we get to that, Joe, you were one of the people, not myself, who came out and said that you thought Stephen Hill was going to be cut. Big surprise, in my opinion, that Stephen Hill was cut. His agent comes out, rips Rex Ryan, rips the Jets. Are you, even though you saw it coming, are you still a little surprised that the Jets actually pulled the trigger on cutting Stephen Hill?
Yeah, I'm definitely surprised, just because the Jets in the past, in the last couple of years, haven't been making the right moves, and I'm happy that we got rid of a guy who can't catch. You know, the guys like Salas and the guy we got the other day are – they can catch the ball. So why have a guy who can't play special teams, who doesn't look like he tries, on our team? And for the agent, I think he's just protecting him. I think that he thinks that he's awful too. It's just he's trying to protect his agent. And Jets fans are happy to wave goodbye, and now he's signing with the Panthers practice squad. So I'm happy to see him gone. I didn't expect it to happen. I was hoping for it, but I'm definitely happy that it did finally happen.
I mean, I was one that was very surprised by this. You know, the agent comes out and says, you know, the Jets should have stuck by him another year. The Jets should have did this. The Jets should have did that. I look at Stephen Hill from this point of view. I'm sitting there and I'm watching a little bit of the Eagles-Jets preseason matchup. I'm pretty much done with preseason football. As a Jets fan, that game was as dreadful as you could possibly watch. Not only are you taking it on the chin, you're watching guys that probably won't even be on the team next week take it on the chin, which was the case. So Stephen Hill comes out there with backups. And, I mean, if you're Stephen Hill, what an opportunity for you to say, I don't belong on the fields with these guys. I belong on the fields with all the other starters with their pads off, taking pictures with their iPhones and signing autographs in the crowd. I don't belong with these backups. And you know what he did? He did absolutely nothing. He dropped the first pass that was thrown to him. He was wide open. He didn't make any plays on the field. He should have had 10 catches for 140 yards in the preseason week 4, told everybody to shut up, told everybody he still has potential, shown the critics that he is still a guy that can produce, show the critics of the Jets, show the Jets that he's still a guy that can make big plays, that has a bright future. He did none of that. He folded like a bad hand in poker, and it was disgusting to watch as a Jets fan, and he deserved to be cut based off his lackluster performance in a backups bowl against the Eagles.
No doubt about it. I agree with you. He should have came out and had 10 catches, 100 yards, or whatever you want to see. But he came out there. He dropped his first ball, which is continuing to do since for the 2 years that he's been here. He did, and just like in preseason too, he's been dropping balls all preseason. He showed us what he really was. He was standing there pouting on the sideline, saying that he was sick and that he didn't feel good. And, you know, I just wanted to see some fight from him. I think even though I was a guy who said I wanted Stephen Hill to leave, if I seen some fight from him, then maybe he could have been on the team, you know. But I'm glad we got rid of him. It's time for the Panthers to worry about him, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a joke. because there is no Jet fan out there that can defend Stephen Hill right now. And I was one of the people that were defending him because I thought, you know, you saw some moments where he can get open. You saw some moments where he uses his, you know, he's got a big body. He can be a red zone threat. He can be a playmaker down the field. And he just folded. Again, I'll call it what it is. It was the backups bowl against the Eagles last Thursday night. You should have been standing out, and you should have made those people feel like they shouldn't even have been on the same field with you. And he did the opposite. That was the most disappointing part for me.
Yeah, yeah. He had a chance to prove himself, but once again, he folded under the pressure. He blamed it on his sickness. He said he didn't feel good. He was standing there with a little pouty face on. And I'm happy we got rid of him. We got rid of guys with like Dimitri Patterson, who was calling us out, calling John Isaac and Rex Ryan liars. So I'm happy. It feels like we don't have any cancer on this team anymore, as a lot of Jets fans are saying on Twitter. We have guys here who actually want to play for a team, and that's what I want. That's how you build a championship team. I'm not saying we're anywhere close to a championship, but we're putting the building blocks in place right now, Brandon.
Yeah, I think the Dimitri Patterson thing just turned out to be an absolute joke. I mean, you're looking at a guy who didn't show up for work, had the guts to blame it on basically saying, well, my agent called. That's like, you know, my mom called me out for school, but I don't think you guys got the message, so don't give me a detention for not showing up today. I mean, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. And then you're a first-year guy. And I saw a tweet that was so, you know, that was – fit it perfectly. It was saying, it was like Dimitri Patterson is talking like he's Darrell Revis and that he's irreplaceable. Newsflash is he could be cut tomorrow and be replaced. You're looking at a cornerback that is a backup on this team, you know, a starter really because of the injuries at best. So, I mean, you can't sit here as Dimitri Patterson and say, well, the Jets should have gave him a shot. You're on a one-strike policy. If you have the, you know, the guts to come out and call out the GM that gave you a chance, the guts to call out the coach that probably had your back throughout all of this, and you're on a team that signed you for a one-year deal and they want to see what you got before they even invest in you in the future, give me a break. I mean, he's a joke.
Yeah, exactly. He probably could have got away with it the first time he said it, but then after Rex and Izzy came out and said that wasn't true, and he kept yapping, and his agent kept yapping, it was time to cut him. There was guys like Curly Cologne came out and voiced their opinions on how he was, and he lost the respect of the locker room. He's not going to be very hard to replace, if at all. I think Darren Walls can give us just as much as he could, and plus Darren Walls doesn't have injury history where he's going to be out probably, you know, 6 out of 16 games. So I'm not too worried about it. I think that we're still going to address it in some way. I know we signed the guy from the Browns, McFadden, and we signed Phillip Adams. So those are decent depth signings. I think that we'll get past. I know the secondary is in a rough spot right now, but we have safeties. Our safeties are solid. So we're going to see what happens by Sunday if Isaac decides to pick up a guy. Maybe, like, I seen you tweet a couple of days ago. Like, I seen you voicing for Champ Bailey. So we gotta see what he does. Even though I'm not too sure what Champ Bailey could exactly give to our team, considering that he changed over to safety with the Saints. But I'm not sure what he can give us. But I think it doesn't hurt to look.
Exactly, and that was my whole thing on Champ Bailey. First off, I like Robert Meacham just as much as I like Champ Bailey. I mean, a Jet fan is going to look at a name, and the reason why people are going to say, well, you know, you want to go out and sign Champ Bailey because of his name, not because of his ability. You know, I look at it from this point of view. Champ Bailey is a guy that, again, he fits the same type of model that anybody the Jets were looking at. He's going to sign for the veteran minimum. There is no risk, and there's high reward. The high reward is, what happens if Champ Bailey comes in here, feels rejuvenated to play for Rex, feels rejuvenated under Rex Ryan's defense, and he plays at 20% what Champ Bailey's capable of playing for, not even 50%. If he plays at 20% what Champ Bailey is capable for, you're telling me that that's not better than the backups that are sitting here right now? You're telling me that you wouldn't want to bring in a veteran guy to coach up and to show and to have some leadership and presence in the locker room? Newsflash, when the Jets were going to the AFC Championship game, they had lengthy and young veterans at every single position almost. On their line, they had, you know, You were looking at all the veterans. You were looking at Alan Faneca. You were looking at Brandon Moore. In the running game, you had Tony Richardson. He was breaking down every single win in the playoffs. I mean, are these guys what they once were? Absolutely not. But they're seasoned veterans who know how to get the most out of other players, know how to lead a team. That's what a guy like Champ Bailey can bring you. He can take D. Milliner to the side and say, listen, D, when the X is going this way, you want to break to your left. And, you know, I know I'm getting technical here, but that's what Champ Bailey can do. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he can be Champ Bailey from 5 to 7 years ago. I'm not even telling you he can be Champ Bailey of 2 years ago. But he's a guy, again, low risk, no money, no investment, could turn out to be something great. And if it doesn't, who cares? What is your risk in it? There's nothing. Oh, so what's your risk? You're going to take reps away from Leon McFadden? I mean, come on.
No doubt about it. You hit on it completely there. I don't know if he would contribute a whole bunch to the actual on the field, but look what a guy like Ed Reed, even though he was beat a million times, look what he did for a guy like D. Milliner last year. You know, if having a guy like Champ Bailey in the locker room wouldn't hurt guys, even though he's not playing, like McDougal, like D. Milliner, all the young guys we got in the locker room. I'm not sure if he would be our starting corner or if he'd be starting safety.
I don't think he would either. I don't think Champ Bailey would either. But I'm telling you this. If you're looking at it and you have Darren Walls, D. Milliner, Champ Bailey, and Antonio Allen, you feel a little bit better. You feel You're feeling better. You're feeling better about your situation.
I would feel a lot better. Even I think a lot of Jets fans would be happy if Champ Bailey, you know, was rejuvenated a little bit and he couldn't play outside corner, but he stuck it in the slot and he took Kyle Wilson's job and moved him down to the fourth or fifth spot on the depth chart. I don't think he's gonna. I feel like a lot of Jets fans think he's gonna come in here and be what he was in 2006, but it's not gonna happen. But it definitely wouldn't hurt our team for whatever the league minimum is, like $900,000 or somewhere close to that. But it wouldn't hurt. He would definitely provide some leadership to our young team. We are one of the youngest teams in the NFL, so I think that it would definitely help. And I like him more than Kyle Wilson still. So,
and put it to you this way: if Champ Bailey proves that he can play somewhat of a decent corner, you're looking at putting Antonio Allen back to his normal spot. You're having Pryor and Allen back there, you know, mandating the secondary with Champ Bailey, D. Milliner, and Darren Walls and Kyle Wilson. You're feeling better. You're getting players, and you're feeling better.
See, you hit on it there too. Again, I was worried that if Antonio Allen moves to corner permanently, then I know we have two solid safeties. You know, Pryor, everybody thinks he's going to be really good, and I actually tweeted something that he was the highest rated safety in preseason. But if you have him and Landry, and Rex likes to play a lot of three safety sets, I know Jaquan Jarrett and Josh Bush back there to come in for the third safety set. So I would definitely like for Allen to be a safety. But, you know, if Champ Bailey can come in here, he could provide some leadership, maybe take the slot corner position from Kyle Wilson, I would definitely be happy. But I think the Jets are definitely looking at all their options and they're weighing them out. And I think we're going to still see some changes to this roster by Sunday.
Right. And I think that's one of the avenues they should take. I know a lot of people are going to say, you can't go after the name. You can't go after the name. You can't waste signings. But again, I want any Jet fan to tell me out there what the risk of bringing a guy like Champ Bailey is. Who knows? He might be able to move and play some safety. Better, do you think? Who would you rather have out there right now, Jaquan Jarrett or Champ Bailey, or even Landry or Champ Bailey? I mean, so you can't tell me that he wouldn't step in here, regardless of being cut and being not, and you know, the Broncos not having any interest in bringing him back. It doesn't matter. You're still looking at a guy that can step onto into the secondary, find a spot with the Jets, and potentially make some type of impact for getting him for nothing.
Yeah, even if he was stacked down on the depth chart, you know, he would definitely provide that leadership presence. But looking at it from the other side is you have to look at it, why did he get cut by the Saints? And Sean Payton said something like, from a veteran guy like that, all we need to see is a little bit of something, and supposedly they didn't see anything from him. I know he's been nursing injuries with his legs
You know what, though? I think a guy like Rex Ryan, who loves body of work and loves corners and loves depth and loves mixing and matching guys, I think a guy like Rex Ryan will go to John Idzik and say, look, we can get this guy for absolutely nothing. We can get him for the league minimum. We can bring him in here, and we can see for ourselves what he has. We can see for ourselves what he can do. I think Rex Ryan is a little bit better judge of defensive talent than Sean Payton is. So I think that Rex Ryan, if there's one guy who can get the most out of anybody defensively, it's Rex. So I think I look at Champ Bailey as a guy that, again, low risk, no risk, high reward. If he brings anything, the Jets make out great. If he doesn't bring anything, it doesn't cost them much, if anything at all. Doesn't hit anything against their cap, and it's a perfect fit for them. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, like I said, it's definitely not going to hurt. He could, even if you stash down, you know, the third, fourth, fifth corner, he's still there. He shows all the guys around. But something else I want to ask you, I was really upset that Rontez Miles didn't make the team over Josh Bush since we're going into the secondary. So how do you feel that Rontez Miles didn't make it to the team over Josh Bush?
You know, I look at it from the point of view where, I mean, those decisions to me, I don't weigh too big on those decisions. I looked at it from more of a point where I was looking at the wide receiver position. But, I mean, Josh Bush has done some good things for the Jets. I don't think he's a terrible player out there. I don't think he's a terrible role player. I think he can help out on special teams. So I don't really read too much into it, to be honest with you.
Yes, yeah, I agree with you. I think that the only reason that they could have that they would have kept Josh Bush over Miles, because it seems like the Jets have a lot of in the box safeties. When you go from Landry and you go to Pryor, even Allen, and even Jaquan Jarrett, it seems like we have a lot of in the box safeties. But a lot of Jets fans were upset that Miles is gone. But I'm happy to see that I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago that he got stashed on the practice squad. And as it looks right now, our practice squad is actually pretty stacked. We have Sims on there. We have Daryl Richardson. We have Pantanelli. We have Qualv. We have Finu, Hyder, Miles, Lewis, Jeremiah, George, and Anunua. And a lot of fans were confused with why we cut Eds and kept George on the team, and then a couple days later we cut George and brought back Eds. But from what I heard, it was because that they didn't believe that Jeremiah George would clear the waivers and the team would pick him up, so they wanted to wait a couple days until the rosters were set, and they brought in and then they cut George when everybody had their rosters set. So they brought back Eds, who I like. Eds, I think a lot of Jets fans seen a lot from him in the preseason. He led the tackles in a lot of the games. So I'm happy that he's back, and I'm happy with the team right now. I think we could have done a little bit more with corner, but again, like I said, I think we're gonna do more before Sunday. But other than that, I really don't have another position I'm too worried about. So my question to you is, Brandon, is other than corner, what position are you most worried about other than corner?
Well, before we jump into that discussion, I want to go to Josh, who is one of our regulars here on Jet Nation Radio. Josh wants to talk about John Idzik. Go ahead, Josh. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, guys? How you doing?
Fantastic.
What's
how are
up,
you?
Josh?
Hey, hitting y'all up on that tweet. Nice conversation we've been having, both of y'all.
I see that.
What do you got for us, Josh?
Our general manager. Me personally, before you say anything, I want to hear your opinions on it. But I want to give him. I decided before week one. I would like to do it. I want to give him a B plus, and there's the reason why. The reason why is because I saw where he was heading. He would have got probably a higher grade if he would have done something better with the corner. But if that incident didn't happen, and that corner situation, he probably would have got the A. But because the situation we in right now, I want to give him a B+. The reason why is because the guys that he brought in, they have leadership skills. They have there's no cancer. I like to say cancer free Jets. For a while, we have players that you know. Was bad for the team is either they want too much money, Revis, or they want the ball a lot, but always get hurt. Santonio Holmes, we always have some type of cancer. And for the first time I've seen in a while, we don't even have cancer in this team. So I like his judgment of how he picked. And next year is right around the corner. He got money in the bank to redo a couple of people contracts. So I saw his intent. That's why I give him that B+. What do y'all think about that?
I think you're on to something. I mean, I would give him, you know, I'd be in the maybe. I think B+ is okay. It's fair. I think the only criticism I have this offseason of John Idzik is, you know, you're looking at some of these wide receivers that were drafted now that you're scratching your head and thinking, you know, maybe they, you know, they could have looked in a different direction. You know, Shaq Evans is going to be out for the year. You can never predict injury. I mean, what have we seen out of Jalen Saunders? Still young. So, I mean, those picks are still up in the air, so I wouldn't give him a high grade because you don't know what's going to pan out of this draft. I mean, if anything, you like Pryor and you like Amaro to be the leaders of this draft class and be big-time impact players for the Jets. But, I mean, the way he handled the cornerback situation, I voiced my opinion on that plenty of times. I think that it was, you know, completely mishandled. I think that they overthought Dimitri Patterson. Clearly, he wasn't even on the team week one. You overthought McDougal with his injury prones, and he's now done for the year. So I think the Jets now are sitting in a position where they're trying to piece together their secondary. Calvin Pryor is going to be a huge impact player for them. You read that Pro Football article where they're talking about him breaking the trend of being a rookie and hitting the ground running. I think that's fantastic. That's exactly what they need. A guy that's going to, you know, mandate the secondary. He's going to be all over the place, making, hopefully getting some interceptions along with big hits. So I think he might mask some of the corner problems, which is what every good safety does. But I mean, I think a B plus is fair. I think he could have did a little more in the free agency side of things, but he stuck to his guns. He got Eric Decker. He had a decent draft, in my opinion. He just didn't add, you know, a big-time cornerback, and they were all out there for him. So, I mean, I think I would give him a B. I'd be right around there. I don't think that's not fair to say.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, Brandon. I would say somewhere around a B2. But as of right now, this is the second year going to the job, so it's very much undecided. We haven't seen anything from this rookie draft class other than practices. But there's a few things he's done well. And there's a few things that he's done very poorly. There's the receiver position, which a lot of people wanted him to draft the receiver earlier. And there's things like the cornerbacks, but he also drafted the defensive rookie of the year last year. So he definitely has his negatives. He has his positives. It's very much undecided right now. But as of right now, I'd have to agree with you. I think he'd be somewhere around a B. So.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? He could do the same thing with Calvin Pryor. The Jets could be looking about having, you know, as much as I'm jumping the gun here, he could be looking about drafting the defensive player, you know, defensive rookie of the year in back-to-back draft classes, which I think is remarkable.
Hey, one little thing I want to say. I know you probably got calls late, you know, or anything like that. If anything, too, but I just want to clear my mind and say this. What do you think about this? You know how our offensive coordinator, they said they nicknamed his West Coast offense, High Flying West Coast offense. I'm thinking with the pieces that we have and, you know, our assault, like we got torpedoes in the backfield. And, you know, Geno Smith stepping up. Can you see a new breed called the Zodic West Coast offense mixed with run pass and Geno running when things break down?
Oh yeah. I don't think they're gonna imply a new offense, you know, with going towards more read option and stuff like that. But
not more read option. I'm just saying, like, in general, all the pieces all the pieces that our offensive coordinator have, our offense in general, I could see a lot more balance. I'm trying to say our offense is more balanced. I could actually see a more exotic form of a West Coast offense from these guys because of what we have. Like, you can't load up the front. I mean, you can't load up the box with seven people just because Eric Decker and Nelson. Like, you need to you get what I'm saying? You have to, like, the defense is going to have to mix it up and hide more because they want to blitz, but they don't know Geno's going to throw.
Yeah, I see your point there. Our Marty Morningway was definitely he was limited last year with a rookie quarterback, with limited receivers. But this year we brought in guys like Chris Johnson who are threats out of the backfield, running and receiving. We have guys like Eric Decker, and then hopefully we have some other receivers like David Nelson who could step up with a full year in the offense. So I see your point. I think that we are going to have more of a balanced offense. We're not going to be so much more of ground and pound. I think we're going to balance that a little bit more. I still do think that we're going to be more of a run team, but I do see your point, and I think that our offense is definitely taking a step up from years past. But, Josh, I'd like to thank you for the call, and we will talk to you hopefully next week.
Go Jets. Go Jets.
All right, Josh. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for the call, Josh.
All right, we go from one regular to another. We go to Glenn, who wants to talk about Marty Morningway. Go ahead, Glenn.
Hey, how are we doing tonight, guys?
Fantastic.
What's up, Glenn?
Yeah, just calling to talk about Marty, kind of piggyback on the last caller. I think the interesting thing to see this year with the offense is going to be how often they do run the ball. I think that with the backs they have and the injuries to the DBs, we're going to see more of a return to Rex's first couple of years with the ground and pound. You have to take advantage of your personnel. You added Chris Johnson. You had Chris Ivory. You know, we've talked extensively about how effective Bilal Powell is as a third running back. So I think we're going to run the ball a lot. And one thing that I would love to see, and I was honestly surprised we didn't see more of it last year, but part of it you could blame on the personnel that we had. But when Morningway was in Philly, he did such a great job. And I know part of it was Andy Reid because it was his philosophy too. But they used the screen game so much. They used it so extensively. You know, there were weeks where it took place of the running game. You'd see Philly's running back sometimes get, you know, 12, 13 carries, but they would utilize the screen game. Jets didn't have the players for that. You know, now we're hearing in camp about how they have Chris Johnson lining up all over the field. I really think that this is where, if we see Jalen Saunders on the field, this is a role he can fill, that quick sort of the receiver with those tools that can be elusive if he gets the ball in his hands and a couple blockers in front of him. I'd really like to see Morningway use a lot more of the screen game. Because if you think back, you know, especially for a young quarterback, it's so essential. If you think back to the early years of Tom Brady, I remember how it used to drive me nuts, but Charlie Weiss did a really good job bringing him along, and
yep.
It seemed like the Patriots would run, you know, a dozen screen plays a game, and they worked on it so much they perfected it. And it would drive you crazy because it felt like every time you got the Patriots in a 3rd and 9, a 3rd and 10, and you thought you had them,
they'd
Brady would
screen
just
for a first down.
Quick screen, 12 yards, and you're pulling
yep.
your hair out. It builds
yep.
his confidence, and the offense starts rolling.
You know something, Glenn? I think you're on. I think you really hit the nail right on the head there. Here's why I'm so excited about this Jets offense, and it really I've never been too ecstatic about the Jets offense. I don't think any Jets fan has because we've seen how bad it can be at certain times. We see how disappointing and how frustrating it can be at certain times. But one thing, the way Geno Smith looked against the Giants in that third preseason game has to excite you. And I'm going to tell you why. Because when the Jets had their ground and pound attack, you had Mark Sanchez, who was the type of quarterback, okay, that would, you know, he would be the guy to go out there and not make you – when the Jets would win, he wouldn't make a play to win the game. He would make plays not to lose the game. He would run his, you know, bootleg. He'd hit a guy for 10 yards. He'd throw a check down route. He'd keep the ball safe. They'd run the ball. They play good defense. I think the Jets now, if they can get Geno Smith into the rhythm that he looked against the Giants, if he can be a quarterback that can make plays to win the game, and you're talking about having the versatility and having the ability to run the ball effectively and finally mix in a guy that can throw the football and that can move the ball down the field, that can use Eric Decker, use Curley, use David Nelson, use Amaro, use his weapons like he did against the Giants, you're looking at an offense that could finally put some points on the board and help this defense out. That's what excites me the most, because if the Jets have an effective run game and the Jets have an effective pass game, it's not something we've seen before. It's always the run game so, you know, fantastic, and then when you're getting into 3rd and 7, 3rd and 9, you're sitting there biting your fingernails off. You're holding your hands over your eyes, and you're just going to listen to the call to see what happens, because 5 times out of 10, the ball is getting picked off, or it's fumbled, or it's a sack. If you have a quarterback that can sit in there, in the pocket, hit a guy for a first down, and you can run the ball, the defense is going to be on their heels. And that's where these offenses are effective. That's what gets me so excited about this potential offense. The screens? Absolutely. You're looking at Jalen Saunders. You're looking at Chris Johnson. You're looking at Jeremy Curley. You're looking at all guys that can run the screen effectively. You mix that in into your passing scheme along with a good running attack, you could finally have an offense that people are excited about.
Yeah, I see your guys' point there. We definitely seem to be effective on the screens this year, and for Jets fans in the past, the last couple of years, it doesn't look like we throw a screen pass if our legs counted on it. But so far in the preseason, it looks like we have been able to use the screen play effectively. And I agree with you, Brandon. It's going to be nice to see a quarterback who's actually, I think he's in the middle of the pack this year, but it's going to be nice to see a decent quarterback, at least from what we've seen saw in the preseason. But I'm definitely excited. Teams aren't going to be stacking the box with seven, eight guys anymore.
Right.
They're going to be looking out for Decker. They're going to be looking out for guys like Johnson, even Saunders. Even though he's unproven, he's still fast and shifty. You're going to take some account for that. And saying our passing offense is going to upgrade, I think it's going to upgrade our run defense. I mean our rushing attack too, because people aren't going to be stacking the box like I said before. So
exactly.
I'm definitely excited to see where this offense goes.
They can finally have some balance.
2014. Exactly. We're not going to just run the ball. You know, second and seven, pass incomplete, run the ball. Our offense over the last 5-6 years, it was hard to watch. It's like I didn't even want to watch the TV. We're on offense. I just want to watch the defense step up. But I think if we give our defense a break and we actually can take a 6-7 minute drive like the Tom Brady's, like the Peyton Manning's of the world, our defense will be rested and we're not going to get tired like we were at the end of the year. So I'm definitely excited to see what we do this year.
Exactly, and I think that the point you touched on with opening things up for the running game. I don't see it as being as big of an issue for Chris Johnson because he relies so much on his shiftiness and elusiveness. But when you take a guy like Chris Ivory, who really had a phenomenal year last year, when you consider what he was up against, having no quarterback, constantly facing 7- and 8-man fronts, if you back the defense up a little bit for him and that guy can get ahead of steam and get to the second level without getting, knocked around by the D linemen and the linebackers a little bit before he gets deep into the defense, that can pay huge dividends for him. I mean, that guy, he runs with reckless abandon, definitely an underrated guy, and I think that screen game, like you said, the quick passes, anything to back the defense up a little bit and make them respect it. I do feel like every year it seems like whatever the Jets are good at, it's all they do. Even going back to the miserable, depressing Paul Hackett days, they were good at the short to intermediate stuff, and that was all they ever did, and it became predictable for defenses. So even though there was something they were good at, they made it harder on themselves by not being able to do anything else. So the key word you guys used is balance, and that's exactly what I'm hoping for this year. The screen passes, they're high percentage passes, so even if you only get 2, 3, 4 yards, you're going to keep the clock running. And we don't have to talk again about weeks 2 through 7. We know what the schedule looks like. The Jets are going to have to run the ball and just keep the clock going, because they're not going to be able, they can't expect Geno Smith, no matter how well he plays, you can't ask him to keep up with Aaron Rodgers and Jay Cutler and Matthew Stafford and Peyton Manning and Phillip Rivers week after week. He might have a couple games where he hangs in there, but, this schedule this year is just, that first half is absolutely brutal. That's why week 1 is a big game they got to pull out. But I'm excited for Jets football. I'm going to be at the game Sunday. It'll be my first game in 5-6 years coming back from overseas, so I'm really pumped, looking forward to tailgating.
Glenn, where are you tailgating on Sunday?
I'm going to be meeting up with Phil and Joe, and I think they said they're in lot B. I'm not sure, but
that's tailgatejoe.com. I'll be there as well. That's lot E10.
Excellent. Yeah, looking forward to it. It'll be my first time to meet you guys, and like I said, I think that the last Jet game I went to was the Brett Favre game against the Cardinals when Eric Smith knocked Anquan Boldin unconscious. Oh. But that's what happened. That's what happens when you live out of the country for 8 years and you only get over every now and then. So looking forward to meeting you guys, and thanks again. Keep up the good work. Have a good night.
All right. Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
That was Glenn, who is a usual caller here on Jet Nation Radio. We're going to take a break when we come back. All right, Twitter. All right, Jet Nation Radio. It's the moment everybody has been waiting for. We are going to talk Jets Raiders week run. We're going to break down the games. We're going to break down the action. Who wins and why? Do you think that the New York Jets will start 1-0? We'll tell you what we think back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Are you a business trying to get the word out about your goods? Or an organization seeking to make the world a better place? Or a band promoting a new tour or debut EP? How do you keep up with the ever-evolving world of social media? Craft your message and make sure it gets to the right people. The answer is the Strategic Peacock. The Strategic Peacock takes pride in helping organizations create and implement online strategies that appropriately target the right audience with the right information using the right media. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence. Visit strategicpeacock.com to develop the right web strategies for success.
Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm here to talk about a serious problem. Your children are listening to bad music. They go home, turn on the radio, and get down with their bad selves. You think it's harmless. You think it's just them being a teenager. You're wrong. Nothing is as harmful or addictive as bad music. Soon your kids will start thinking bad music is good, and the world will be filled with only bad music. So talk to your children about the dangers of bad music and tell them about the cure, Indie Outbreak. Indie Outbreak features a huge selection of great indie artists fighting against the bad music plague. Good music to save their minds. Join with us at IndieOutbreak.com, and together we can help stop the spread of bad music.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? Then the Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett, Brandon Dowling,
and the home of the Jets.
And we are back off the break. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio. The phone line is open, as always, 646-716-4697. Again, that's 646-716-4697. Give us a call. Tell us your predictions. Who do you think wins Jets Raiders this week, and why? Are you confident? Are you in the middle, or are you concerned about this week's game against Oakland at home? But before we dive into that, calling in from JetNation.com and the host of This Week in Jet Nation on YouTube is Jet Nation's own Courtney Arillo. Hi, Courtney. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm good. What's up, Courtney? How are you?
How you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm good.
What are you calling with us with tonight?
I
got?
Am.
What's new on JetNation.com?
Well, you tell me. You guys should be on it too. I'm just kidding. I have the post of the week.
Fantastic.
And it goes to a big shout out. Well, two. I guess I have two posts. Well, two shout outs. This was called.
Go for it.
Okay. A shout out goes to all our new members to JetNation.com. They are flocking over from another site. So they discovered us, and they like us, and they have joined us, and they've been saying nothing but nice things about JetNation.com. So a shout-out to everyone that has joined us, and thank you. And another shout-out to his name on the board is Jeff. He made, I'm going to mess this up, so sorry, Phil, I know you're listening. he basically said nice things about GenNation.com and how long we lasted. We pretty much outlasted all the other, you know, Jet fan sites, and how we're very loyal and dedicated to our fans, and we're not fake and obnoxious, and that more people should be like us.
We have the best website around. What do you expect? We have the best website around.
So shout out to it. It's pretty cool. It's just nice to hear things like that. So.
All right, Courtney, week one. Are you excited? Are you ready? Are you ready to go? I know you're going over to the tailgate this week, so let's get right to it. Jets, Raiders, who do you think wins and why?
We're going to win. I wouldn't normally be so confident. I mean, you know, Derek Carr is the quarterback for the Raiders. So, whatever you want to call him. I feel confident. You know, Gino, he's doing good this year so far. You can see the improvement. What? Go ahead.
Give us your. We need the final score. What's your final score? And we're writing it down.
Don't write it down. I'm not a gambling woman. I don't even buy lottery tickets, dude. I'm bad at the predictions because it's like I do believe in jinxing. I just think we're gonna win. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Like,
Courtney,
so.
We need it.
27-17.
Okay.
What's wow for? What's that tone?
Because I'm somewhere close
me.
To that, but we're gonna
wow.
No, I'm writing it down. 27-17. So we're writing that down. We're gonna
Why
see what happens. I'm definitely excited to see what happens on Sunday. What about you, Brandon?
I just heard five followers drop.
No, I don't think so. No, I heard Broadway Joe was giving you a compliment. He just wanted to say,
"Wow."
So,
yeah,
but
I think that's a pretty fair
range of the score. I think the Jets can definitely put up some big points on the Raiders this week. I think it's going to be a good game, but I think with Derek Carr as the starting quarterback, you know, look at the numbers. Look at Rex Ryan alone versus rookie quarterbacks, and look at the score differential and look at his record. I mean, he feasts on rookie quarterbacks. So I think that's one thing that the Jets have going for them this week. But Courtney, post of the week, along with all these new people on the forums, I think it's fantastic. I think it's great that, you know, all Jet fans are connecting, on JetNation.com, and everybody is jumping ship from different websites because it is truly the best place to talk New York Jets football. Now, you are working on a YouTube video, I believe, this week, correct, for This Week in Jet Nation?
I'm working on it right now.
Can you give us a little spoiler or a little preview of what's going to be on This Week in Jet Nation?
I mean, it's basically like, you know, just the moves that were made. The cuts, Stephen Hill, Patterson. It's just a recap. It's a good little recap, you know, with me in it. What everyone wants to see. I'm just kidding.
Oh, very confident. Well, Courtney is going with the Jets 27-17. She has her post of the week, and she thanks everybody out there. Look for Courtney on This Week in Jet Nation, and you can also find her on Twitter as well. Courtney, thank you so much, and appreciate it as always.
Okay, thank you, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care. See you at the game on Sunday.
Yep, see you later.
All right, that was Courtney Arilla from JetNation.com, also the host of This Week in Jet Nation. All right, Joe, let's break it down. Let's get into some football. Let's talk about this game. The Jets are going up against Derek Carr. They're going up against the Raiders team that doesn't travel to the East Coast well. Who do you think wins this game and why? Break it down, X's and O's. Get your marker out. Go John Madden on me right now. Let's go.
Oh, you're putting the pressure on me. All right. for I believe the Jets will win once again to the Raiders. We won last year. My main reason being is we've upgraded it. I really don't believe they have they had some decent signings like Maurice Jones-Drew and Justin Tuck, but they're one of the oldest teams in the league. I think that the Jets are going to come out firing away. Rex is going to want to get to the quarterback. Derek Carr, I think, is going to soil himself looking at the Jets' defensive line. So I think the Jets win. You know, last year we had Geno, a rookie quarterback. We had David Nelson and Greg Salas as our starters, and we didn't struggle against them last year. We had a good game. We pretty much manhandled them last year. When you add Eric Decker and Chris Johnson and Amaro to the offense, I think we're gonna end with a final score of, I'm gonna say 27. That's why I gave Courtney the wow, because I agree with 27. I think three touchdowns, and I'm gonna go even deeper into it. I'm gonna say that Geno's going to have two passing touchdowns. I'm not going to say to who, because I'm not that confident, but I'm going to say it's two passing touchdowns, and Chris Ivory gets a rushing touchdown. We get two, and then Fulk Hero nails two field goals. But I'm going to say 27, and I'm going to say the Raiders get 16. So that's my final prediction. I think that I just think that we're more of an experienced team. I think that they're going to be bottom five team this year, and I think we're going to be middle of the pack wild card team. So what about you, Brandon? Give me your final score. I'm going to write it down.
Well,
too.
You know, I'm looking at this game. I'm not a big final score guy. I think there's no point in predicting a final score because you have no idea how the game is going to twist and turn. So when it comes
but it's
to
a
this
prediction.
Game,
it's a prediction,
I look
Brandon.
At it this way. Hold on a second. I look at it from this point of view. When you look at the Jets' strengths against the Raiders' weaknesses, the Raiders' first weakness is going to be their offense. You don't know what you're going to what to expect. They're trotting out a rookie quarterback there basically on a hopes and prayers that he comes out and plays a great game. The Jets' defense against a rookie quarterback has been lights out. Rex Ryan's schemes and blitzes will have the rookie quarterback's head spinning. That's what makes me pretty confident about this week. I think Geno Smith against the Raiders defense that has improved up front, so it might be a little difficult to run the ball, but I think the Jets are going to move the ball efficiently in the air against their secondary. I think the Jets against the Raiders, the only issue that I could have, you know, is again, you know, is Derek Carr going to be able to move the ball, and is he going to be able to kind of, you know, fit a little bit of a game plan in here where he loosens them up and they just go completely all out, throw the ball all over the field, and take risks, because what do they have to lose? They're trotting out a rookie quarterback there with no expectations. When you're facing a team with no expectations, it can be dangerous. When you're going into week one with no expectations, that's when they can even be more dangerous. The Raiders know they're not going to the Super Bowl. The Raiders probably know they're not going to the playoffs. They're going to give their rookie quarterback a playbook, and they're going to say, go have fun, kid. It's exactly what they're going to say to their quarterback this week. That's what worries me a little bit. But at the end of the day, the New York Jets defense and Rex Ryan against this offense with a rookie quarterback and the way the Jets looked in the third preseason game with their new additions, for this particular game in week one, Joe, I'm going to do a little drum roll here.
Go ahead.
When I pick the Jets, of course, I have to lead in with a Jet chance. I think the Jets are going to win this game. I think that they're going to win with a final score of 24-9. I think the Jets defense is going to be all over Derek Carr and the Raiders offense. I think you might have a field goal here or there. I think that's the only type of offense the Raiders are going to get. Who knows? They're better at kicking the football than everybody else. So what, you know,
really
me to believe that. So I think that the Jets defense will hold them out of the end zone. You're looking at a 3 field goal day for the Raiders. The offense looked good. Everybody's excited about the Jets and how they're going to look opening week. And then the real test comes and they start weeks 2-7 in a brutal stretch. But I like the Jets in this game 24-9. I think the defense steps up, as does Geno Smith. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, our new segment here for the NFL season is the JetNationRadio.com Picks of the Week. Check out JetNation.com because in the forums you're going to see the Picks of the Week. You're going to be able to pick against us. You're going to be able to call in and say, hey, Joe, hey, Brandon, I went 3-1 this week. you guys went 2-2, or we might be able to just bash everybody and go 4-0. We're going to pick the four best games of the week. You're going to be able to find it on the forums on JetNation.com under Jet Nation Radio Picks of the Week. You're going to be able to pick against us. We're going to pick the games right after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Look, if you had one shot, one opportunity, seize everything you ever wanted, one moment, did you capture it? Just let it slip.
Yo.
Since the average attention span is now about 27 seconds thanks to ADD, ADHD, and bad TV, if you're a business of any kind, how do you reach your future clients? You need a marketing partner ready to implement those online strategies and properly target the right audience with the right information using the right media. You need the strategic peacock. From mobile to multimedia, the strategic peacock will enhance your online presence and help create potential growth. When you're ready to understand how the modern mind works, go to strategicpeacock.com and develop the right web strategy for you.
Strategicpeacock.com.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting your music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
What seems to be the problem?
I don't know, doctor. I just feel sick.
What have you been listening to recently?
I don't really know. Just whatever's on, I guess.
Seems to me like you have a serious case of bad music.
Am I gonna die? Is it contagious? Is it dangerous?
It can be dangerous. It can cause headaches, earaches, vomiting, nausea, and in extreme cases, even death.
Oh no! What should I do?
I am going to prescribe to you 60 milligrams of Indie Outbreak. It'll help prevent bad music disease and will make your life better and worth living.
Thanks, Doc!
Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
All right, you're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here we go. Joe, I wanted to get us in the mood here on JetNationRadio.com, and, you know, around Christmas time, everybody starts singing Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and everybody starts singing Christmas carols and getting excited. This is my Christmas song, and this will be our for football. It's like Christmas for football when I think of this song. So here we go. What gets you more excited? What gets you more ready to go than the Hard Knocks theme song as we move into our new segment here, which is JetNationRadio.com, JetNation.com, JetNation Radio Picks of the Week. And we're going to start it off with the first game to open up the NFL season, Seattle versus Green Bay. Now, we're going to pick these games straight up. We're not going to pick against the spreads. I will tell everybody the spreads out there, you know, just for knowledge, and if everybody, you know, if you wanted to place some bets on the game, of course. So let's go with this first game. Seattle hosting Green Bay, the Super Bowl champs, open the season at 5.5-point favorites. Interesting. The gamblers and out there in the spreads are giving Green Bay a shot in this game. So that tells me, you know, if you're looking at it from a picking point of view, that Green Bay has a chance in this game. My personal opinion, I think Seattle comes out, and I think Seattle shows the world on national TV why they're the Super Bowl champs and why they're the favorites again to repeat. I think Seattle lays down a little bit of a beating on Green Bay towards the end of the game. Green Bay keeps it close. Seattle pulls away in the end. I'm going with the Seahawks.
Yeah, I have to go with you there, Brandon. the last time we've seen the Seahawks, they were destroying the Broncos, which have a more potent offense than the Packers do. So I think they're going to come out hungry, and they're going to come out ready. And of course, it's with the 12th man. It's in Seattle, so they definitely have a big advantage there. But I'm going to have to go with you with Seattle. Their defense is just it's incredible. That's hopefully what John Etzik is building for us, but I'm definitely going to go with Seattle. What's your next game, Brandon?
Our next game, we move over to Baltimore hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. This game, we're sitting here with a 1.5-point spread, basically a pick 'em. Baltimore against Cincinnati, you're looking at a division rival here. I like the Ravens in this game at home. I think Baltimore is going to come out excited. They're going to come out to prove that they are an AFC powerhouse again, and I think that they're going to come out throwing the football against Cincinnati defense. I like what Baltimore has done so far this offseason. I think that the Ravens are going to be victorious against the Bengals at home.
I'm going to have to disagree with you there. I'm going to go with the Bengals just because Geno Atkins is coming back. They're going to be a hungry defense. A.J. Green and Andy Dalton are going to be ready. Dalton's going to want to show why he got that mega contract, and I'm going to have to go with the Bengals.
All right, that's fair. It's a 1.5-point spread, so that's a pick 'em there. So I'm going to go with the Ravens. Joe is going with the Bengals. Our next game, we move to Sunday Night Football. You're looking at the Indianapolis Colts taking on the Denver Broncos. This week is my upset special. I think Andrew Luck and the Colts walk into Denver 7.5-point underdogs. I think the Colts win this game. Andrew Luck beats Peyton Manning again. And this is my upset of the week. I like Indianapolis over Denver. Go ahead, Joe.
No, I'm going to have to disagree with you again, Brandon. So it looks like I'm going to go 3-0, and you're going to be 1-2 because I think the Broncos are going to come out hungry. Peyton Manning's going to be ready for the Colts season and want to prove that it wasn't a fluke what happened to him last time. So I think the Broncos are going to come out hungry. I think they're going to come out ready, even though one of their star receivers, Wes Welker, just got a penalty or a four-game suspension for drugs or some kind of drug that he took. But I'm going to have to go with the Broncos despite that.
All right, our final game in the Jet Nation Radio Picks of the Week, Giants going to Detroit to take on the Lions in a Monday Night Football opener. We will pick the Giants game here since they are, you know, the crosstown team. I am going with the Lions in this football game. I think the Giants defense is not going to be able to handle the newly additioned wide receivers in the Lions passing attack along with Reggie Bush. I think you're going to be looking at a high-scoring Monday Night affair, but I think that the Detroit Lions will take this game.
Yep, I'm gonna go with you on that one. I think the Lions are gonna come out hungry too. So far, a lot of New Yorkers have seen what the Giants can do in the preseason, and it's not much. It's a problem when you have your starting offense out for a decent amount of the game in the fifth preseason game, not even the fourth one, the fifth one. So I think the Giants' offense is gonna take some time to adjust. Eli's not gonna know the system, the West Coast system, as well as he wants to yet. And I think the Giants are gonna struggle the first couple of weeks, especially against the Lions and their stout defensive line and their stout pass rush.
All right, so we're going with. We're both taking Seattle against the Packers. I've got Indianapolis over the Broncos. Joe has the Broncos over Indianapolis. I have Baltimore over Cincinnati. Joe has Cincinnati over Baltimore. And we both have the Lions over the Giants. Go to JetNation.com at the conclusion of this show. You can pick against the Jet Nation Radio host on JetNation.com. Look for it. It's going to be under Jet Nation Radio Picks of the Week. See how you do against us. Call in and give us your take and let us know what your record compares to us. Now, let's go to Zach, who's been holding. Zach wants to give us his prediction as we close here soon on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead, Zach.
Yes. Hey, guys. I was going to give my Jets prediction against the Oakland Raiders.
Go for it.
I honestly think Geno Smith is going to have a breakout year this season. I can see them winning 24-17. That's a good prediction. I think the Jets defense is going to hold up. I really hope it's not a problem, and it really shouldn't. But I was very curious why they didn't really take a look at guys on the market. You know, the Giants signed one of the big guys in the free agency, and as of last week, the New Orleans Saints released Champ Bailey. I would have hoped they would, you know, take a look at him, but nothing cooking on that side of the story. So Yeah.
Zach, I think you've been listening to me, haven't you? Zach, I'm with you 100% on that. I can't say it enough. I've been saying it over and over again. I'm looking at these guys that are out there. I'm looking at the risk behind them, and I just don't see it. I mean, you want to talk the big contract guys? Okay, you have a leg to stand on there. But other than that, there's no risk in going out and looking at a Champ Bailey and bringing him in to see what he can add to this team. But other than that, we move on from the off-season talk. We're talking about this week, who wins and why. Zach, 24-17 JETS is what you're telling me.
That's right, all the way.
All right, Zach. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it, and we hope you're right on Sunday.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, take care. And that was Zach, I believe, is a first-time caller, and we always appreciate the first-time callers here on Jet Nation Radio. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show. I want to thank Jerry behind the scenes doing a fantastic job, as always. I want to thank Courtney Arillo, who is the host of This Week in Jet Nation, calling in, of course, with the posts of the week and what's going on in the forums. Again, big shout-out to everybody who's joining JetNation.com's. Everybody's finding out where the action is. It's in our forums. You want to talk football. You want to talk about who wins this week and why. You want to pick against us. The only place to find it is at JetNation.com in our forums. People are flooding our forums for a reason. They're finding it from other sites that can't do it as good as we do. I want to thank everybody again for tuning in. We will be back next week. We'll either have a happy show or we'll have a show breaking down why we're upset. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.